Evening, everyone. It's wonderful to have a chance to preach this evening. And we're looking at prayer, as Tim mentioned. And those of you who were here a couple of weeks back would have known that Costa did a two-part sermon series looking at the Lord's Prayer. And it was a really helpful place for us to start as we thought through about the content of our prayers, what we should pray for, and why we should pray for it. And we looked at Jesus' own teaching on how to pray. And this evening, we're continuing on prayer, and we're looking at how we can actually grow in our prayer. You'll see the title in your service sheets, Cultivating a Heart for Prayer. And the basic question that I want us to be able to answer this evening is, how do I grow in my prayer life? How do we grow in our love for prayer so that we pray regularly and consistently in a way that perhaps we hear others talk about but have never actually experienced ourselves? Is it even possible? How do we cultivate a heart for prayer? You would have noticed that there was no Bible reading this evening, and the reason is because we're looking at one verse in particular in the book of Colossians. It's in chapter 4, verse 2, if you'd like to turn your Bibles there. And the verse says, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful." Just that one verse. Could be a short sermon. So these are Paul's words to the Colossians, and in chapter 1, he's reminded them how they first came to faith. And he explains to them the message of the gospel, the hope that they now have in Jesus. And here in chapter 4, he's telling them how to live their lives in response to the gospel. And his message to them is clear. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And it's interesting to note that Paul's instructions aren't some sort of optional extra. They're not something we just add on if we want. But that's often how we treat prayer. It's like when you're at McDonald's or Burger King. Obviously, I don't set foot in those places. I'm far too healthy. But Costa tells me that when you do order a burger, they always give you the option of upgrading your burger to a combo, adding chips and a drink. Now, Costa, he's pretty strict on what he eats, so of course he turns them down. But he's been given the option. He can take it or leave it. And often, that's how we treat prayer. Some days we think, yeah, I'll take it. Other days we say, no, it's not for me. But the problem with that thinking is that prayer isn't an optional extra for Christians. Prayer is a response to God. He has spoken to us through his word, and prayer is how we respond to him. When someone says something to you, it would be rude if you don't respond. Sometimes my wife Lilia will be trying to ask me something, and I've already got something on my mind. I'm distracted, and so I don't respond. Usually after the third try, she gets a response, but it's actually rude for us not to respond when we're spoken to. And God has spoken to us, so it's rude for us not to reply. This is why prayer actually begins with us reading the Bible, listening to God. It's also rude if someone says something to us, but then we speak to them as though they never said anything. We ignore what they said. And the same is true of God. He speaks first, we listen, and we reply in prayer. And so prayer is for all of us. It's part of the Christian life. So how do we grow in prayer? Now, there's three things in this verse which go a long way to helping us as we consider how we can actually grow in our prayer life. And the first thing which you'll see on your sheet is that in order to grow in prayer, we need to be devoted to it. I don't need to convince you that prayer is hard. I'm sure most of you will have experienced difficulty in praying. Maybe your prayer life looks a bit like the weather in Auckland. We were up there in April after one of those big cyclones hit New Zealand, and the weather was crazy. One minute, the sun was out shining. The next minute, it was pouring down with rain. Then half an hour later, the sun's beaming down again, and you think, great, things are looking up. But then all of a sudden, it rains again. And sometimes our prayer life changes in a similar way. We might pray consistently for a period of time, a few days, a few weeks. Things are looking up. But then all of a sudden, we find ourselves in a rut, and we haven't talked to God for days, or for weeks, or for even months. We change like the weather. Why can't we just be consistent? Why is it so hard to pray consistently? I was talking to a guy last year who's a sports psychologist for a lot of top-level athletes, and he's been working with athletes for years, He's done a bit of work with the New Zealand Sevens rugby players in the past, and he made an observation about a lot of young athletes, which I think sums up a lot of our attitudes to prayer. He said, "I've noticed that a lot of young people these days, even top-level athletes, will turn on the TV or browse the internet and they'll watch their best players, really good players, and they see them perform well. They'll see them score amazing tries or goals or win a race or whatever. And when they see that, they get inspired. They practice hard for a while and you notice the change. They're more passionate. But a short time later, they don't get the instant results that they're after. And then they end up getting disheartened. They start to doubt whether they'll ever be great at their chosen sport. And in many cases, they give up." And I think that can often be our attitude with prayer. Maybe we hear a great sermon or we're encouraged to pray. We see someone who's great at praying. We've probably seen others in our growth groups or at the churchwide prayer meeting or elsewhere. We've seen their passion for God in their prayers. And it inspires us for a while. We try and pray more regularly. But soon after, we lose that passion, that sense of inspiration, and we become disheartened. And we decide that prayer isn't really our thing. We think that prayer is for some people who are good at it, but not for everyone. And then we give up. We pretty much stop praying altogether. And there's a couple of things that are wrong when we approach prayer like that. If we think that these athletes, if we think like these athletes when it comes to prayer, then there's no way we will be devoted in our prayer. There's no way our prayer life will grow. Prayer is tough, and so we should expect there to be tough times when we try and pray. Times where we feel like it's a real struggle to pray. Times where we feel like we aren't making any progress. But if we decide to throw in the towel, to just give up at the first sign of difficulty, then can we really say that we've devoted ourselves to prayer? Prayer takes discipline. It actually takes time to pray consistently. When you see an athlete at the top of their game, it would be foolish to think that they are always like that. You haven't seen the hours of work, the dedication that's taken place to get them to where they are. You don't see the failures that they've had in the past. You see the end product and forget about the things that they've been through to get them to where they are. And when we see others who seem to be devoted to prayer, it would be foolish to think that they've always been like that, that they've always been that way. There would certainly have been a time where they would have struggled to pray. I think of some of the older people here at St. John's and the way in which they seem to have such a heart for prayer. They seem to love praying for God's work and for God's people. But they would have learned that over time. And if we expect a quick fix, like magically we become really good at prayer, like all of a sudden we'll have an amazing prayer life, then we might end up disappointed. It takes discipline and God's grace towards us. Some of the athletes didn't realize that they had the skills they needed to do well. And as Christians, sometimes we don't realize that through Christ we have a relationship with God, and He will help us by His Holy Spirit as we pray to Him. He will help us to grow. But we also need to respond to God. Now, part of that is speaking to Him, pouring out our hearts to Him. He hears our prayers. He loves to hear from us. Proverbs 15:29 says, "The Lord is far from the wicked, but He hears the prayers of the righteous." He hears the prayers of His people. Don't be disheartened. Don't expect it to be easy. Be disciplined. Devote yourselves to prayer. Continue to pray. It's not an optional extra. It's part of what it means to respond rightly to the gospel. God has spoken to us first. He saved us by the blood of His only Son who died for our sins. He loves us and welcomes us as children to pray to Him. To not do so is actually to sin against God. It's to ignore Him, to neglect Him. Prayer is part of holiness, and we are called to be holy. So we are to be devoted to prayer. But how do you actually go about being devoted to prayer? Paul tells us that it's by being watchful and thankful. If you want to be devoted, it will be hard, so do these things. What does it mean to be watchful? And what should we be watchful for? Now, being watchful seems to be avoiding the things that stop us from praying. And there are many of these things, so let's think through some of them. Firstly, we need to be watchful for the spiritual battle that's taking place around us. Our attitude to prayer is definitely not urgent. In fact, it's usually the complete opposite. It's like when you get those invitations where you're meant to RSVP by a certain date. If I'd ever get invited to something, I'd usually put the invite somewhere that I thought I wouldn't lose it. And I'd tell myself, oh, I'll get round to that later. There's no urgency. And then I'd completely forget about it. I should say I've gotten better at responding since I've been married. But our prayers can be like that as well, because we don't realise that there's a spiritual battle going on. We don't pray for others because we think we've got plenty of time. It's like the wedding invite. We tell ourselves, oh, I'll just get round to that later. One of the things that's been on my mind over this past week was the words of Richard Cokin, who preached last Sunday. And in his sermon, he told us that people's lives are at stake, that people's souls are at stake. There are people we know going to hell. And that really struck a chord with me, the urgency of it. And the same thing applies with our prayer. We should be praying for our friends, our family members, our colleagues, all those who don't yet know Jesus, because their lives are at stake. There's a spiritual battle going on, and Satan would love nothing more than to see us put off praying in the same way we put off RSVPing to things. We're in a spiritual battle, and if we don't see the urgency of it, then it should come as no surprise to us when we don't pray. And if Satan doesn't attack us when we're not praying, we can be sure that he will when we do pray. When we try to start praying more regularly, he tells us lies. He'll tell us that God doesn't want to hear our prayers or that prayer is pointless. We should expect prayer to be hard because Satan wants there to be barriers stopping us from praying. If we were in a physical battle or a war, we would pray. We would be desperate for our lives. We don't pray because we don't realise, spiritually speaking, that we're at war. The devil is out to kill us for eternity. And so we need to get on our knees and pray to the Almighty God who has already defeated Satan. Now, which leads to the next thing, our pride. The next thing to be watchful for is our pride. And this is a big one. Now, have you ever been in a position where you're saying grace, thanking God for your meal and for other things, and you just can't think of what to pray? You say the same thing again and again. It feels robotic. You feel like you don't have anything to be thankful to God for. It's just been an ordinary day. Nothing amazing's happened. Nothing terrible's happened. And so you don't really know what to pray. And I think it's a sign of our own pride. You see, it's only when something major happens in our lives that we tend to feel the need for prayer. Think about it. Something terrible happens to a loved one, and what's our response? We pray for them. Of course we do. There's an opportunity that comes up for a new job. What do? Pray, pray, pray. What we fail to see is that when we pray like this, we're essentially saying to God that we don't really need him unless things go bad or something big happens. We're forgetting that we're completely dependent on him all the time. He's the one who sustains us, the giver of life, the one who we're dependent on for every single breath that we breathe. And this is how we treat him. We like to think that we're in control of the majority of the things in our lives. We think that we don't actually need God most of the time. I can make my own friends sometimes. I can get a degree and a job. I can do a lot of things on my own. I can even tell others about Christianity on my own. Why would I possibly need God's help? Our pride blinds us to our need for God. And so it's something that we need to be watchful for. In order to grow in our prayer, we need to humble ourselves before God. A man named Augustine once wrote this about people who pray. You must account yourselves desolate in this world, however great the prosperity of your lot may be. No matter how great your earthly circumstances, they cannot bring you the peace, happiness, and consolation found in Christ. The scales must fall from your eyes. And if we don't see that truth, then we'll struggle to pray. You may have things of value in this life, but if you don't see your need for God above those things, then prayer will always be hard. Another thing that we need to be watchful for in order to see growth in our prayer lives is our sinfulness, or more specifically, our unconfessed sin. This is one of the biggest things that stops us from praying. I'm sure many of you here will have done things in your life that have caused you to feel extremely guilty. Maybe it's something that's just too embarrassing or painful to tell others about, and so you've kept it hidden. And you know that God knows you're hiding sin, and so the guilt builds up. And you start to wonder, how could God possibly love you? Why would he want to hear your prayers? How could you possibly pray to him when you haven't really acknowledged your sin? And so you think that you're not worthy enough to pray to God. And so you don't pray. Or maybe it's ongoing sin. Maybe you continue to fall into the same cycle of sin again and again and again. You feel unworthy to pray to God. How could he possibly listen to you? You're nothing but a sinner, a guilty sinner. And if you can relate to this, then perhaps the reason is because you haven't applied the message of the gospel properly. You haven't understood it properly. Jesus doesn't tell us that we need to have dealt with all our baggage, all our issues, in order to relate to God, in order to pray to God. Rather, the whole message of the gospel is for those who can't fix themselves, those who can't save themselves and need God to save them. If you say to yourself, oh, I'll pray when I've sorted out this part of my life, when I've sorted out this sin, then you've got it all wrong. Sorting this out isn't what makes you right with God, but rather it's trusting in Jesus. And so when you feel guilt, rather than thinking about the things you can do to take your guilt away, come to God and ask for his help. Throw yourself towards God. The gospel message is still for those who need God's help. It's not for those who think they've already made it. It's not for those who think that they can make it on their own. It's for those who desperately need God because they are nothing without him. Don't let the sin in your life stop you from praying. Confess your sin to God and run to him. Now, the final way which we should be watchful in our prayer is by watching for God's response. How often do we pray for something only to soon forget about what we've prayed for? Unless it's something major, we don't think about whether God might have actually answered the prayer and how he might have answered it. We think, I prayed for that, job done, I can move on. God tells us to ask things of him. He delights in hearing our prayers. Sure, sometimes he answers our prayers in ways which we don't understand, but we can be sure in those times that it's for our good. He delights to hear our prayers, and he delights to answer them. We might tell ourselves that we don't pray to God because he won't answer. But how can we know that if we don't look for his answer? If we aren't watchful and waiting for God to answer? Imagine you text someone and ask them a question. Usually you'll check your phone every now and then to see if they've replied. But why is it that when we ask something of God, we don't always check to see the response? We need to watch for God's response and adapt our prayers as God teaches us more and more. God is good, and when we pray to him, we should expect that he will respond. So there are some of the things that we need to be watchful for in order to grow our prayer lives. But alongside being watchful is also one final thing that Paul tells the Colossians to do in order to be devoted to prayer, and that is to be thankful. Being thankful helps us fight against pride. Being thankful motivates us to pray because it's the acknowledgement that God is indeed God, that he has given us everything, that we are nothing without him. Thankfulness, you might say, is the opposite of pride. I mean, it's hard to be thankful if you're proud. And Paul connects thankfulness with prayer. We ought to pray with thankfulness. Be thankful that God is powerful, that he is able to answer prayer, that he is able to do more than we can imagine. We're reminded in Ephesians 3:20 that God can do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. Be thankful for that. When you're driving in Christchurch these days, you don't have to go far to find roadworks. On our street, we're living at the moment, it's down to one lane, and so there's a lot of giving way to oncoming traffic. And when I'm driving, if I see someone thank me when I give way to them, I love it. They give me a wave, and I think, great, I want to do this more often. And if we can delight in something, in someone being thankful for something as little as that, imagine God's delight when we thank him for listening to and answering our prayers. God delights in the prayers of his people. He delights in our prayers. Next, be thankful that God is personal. We pray to him as our loving Father, not some distant God who might hear us. But thanks to Jesus, we pray to him as our Father who wants to give us what we ask for, who promises us to give us whatever is good for us and if we ask for it. Be thankful that God is our provider, not demanding things from him, but recognizing that he gives us what we need. Be thankful that he listens when we speak. Look for God's provision in your life. Look for answers to your prayer. For as you see them, they will motivate you to pray more. Maybe try writing down what you've prayed for, just something that you can remember to look back on and see how God has answered your prayer. It's so encouraging when we hear others talking about God answering their prayers. But perhaps we don't always notice when God answers our prayers. If we did, then I'm sure it would lead us to praying a lot more. Be thankful to God when you pray. It'll help you grow in your prayer life. Well, as we finish, I hope you've got an idea about how you can grow in your love for prayer so that you can pray more consistently. I hope you've seen how being devoted to prayer is how we respond to God. Hopefully you've seen your need to be watchful in prayer. Hopefully you've felt the urgency of the spiritual battle that's taking place around us. You've recognized the things which are stopping you from praying consistently to your Father in heaven. And hopefully you've seen the importance of being thankful to God for all the ways in which he's answered our prayers in the past, and we'll continue to answer them as we pour our hearts out to him. It's only fitting that we spend some time now praying to God and asking for his help in these things. Please join me. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for the wonderful gift of prayer you've given to all your people through the Lord Jesus. Please would you help us as we try and grow in our love for prayer. Thank you for speaking to us through your word. Help us as we respond to you in prayer. Teach us to be consistent in our prayer, to be disciplined. Help us to be watchful and thankful so that we might grow in our prayer life, and more importantly, in our relationship with you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.